Order this regular session of the Springville Planning Commission. Everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any adjustments to the regular session agenda? Do we have any business from the audience that's not related to tonight's public hearing? Tonight we will be conducting a quasi-judicial public hearing in regard to Glenwood amendments to the Eugene Springfield Public Facilities and Service Plan. We will begin with a legal introduction. Lauren King.
Thank you. This hearing tonight is a de novo quasi-judicial hearing. That means that certain due process and procedural rights are associated with this decision-making, including the right to notice, to present evidence, to have a written decision based upon the standards, and to an impartial decision-maker. This decision tonight is a recommendation to the City Council. There will be a second hearing and another opportunity for people to testify again, be a part of a record in front of the City Council. So just so you know, it's a little bit unusual. A lot of times your decision is the final decision and doesn't necessarily have. This will get a hearing again in front of City Council. The record in this matter consists of the application and any supporting information, any staff report and supporting documents, and any testimony and documentary evidence admitted during this hearing. By statute, the public has the right to request that the record be held open for 7 days. The public does not have to give a reason for that request, but they must make the request before the hearing is closed. If new evidence is introduced during that time, the record may be held open for an additional period of time to allow other parties an opportunity to respond to that new evidence. The public always has the right to request a continuance of the hearing. A continuance is discretionary with the Planning Commission. The party requesting it must show that a prejudice to his or her rights will not be cured by merely holding the record open. The procedure tonight will first be the staff report and testimony from the applicant, testimony by those in favor, testimony by those neutral, and testimony of those opposed, summary by staff and rebuttal from the applicant, closure of the public hearing, and discussion of any policy issues in compliance with adopted plans. Any person who participated in the hearing may appeal the Planning Commission's decision, although it's just a recommendation to the City Council. Please consult an attorney before a deadline for the appeal in the form of the appeal. Oregon land use law requires that the council disclose any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest related to this matter and allow any person to challenge the Planning Commission for bias. Generally, a conflict of interest involves a situation where the decision maker, his or her family or business, would benefit or suffer by his or her decision. An ex parte contact is a communication to the decision maker that includes substantive issues regarding the application and occurs outside the public venue. Mr. Chair, at this time it is appropriate to open the hearing.
I will open the public hearing. Now, is there any member of the Planning Commission who has any potential conflict of interest or any disclosure to make of ex parte contact?
I have none.
None. Thank you. So next we will have the staff report, which also applies as the applicant as well, Mark Metzger.
Good evening. As was mentioned earlier, we are considering amendments to the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area Public Facilities and Services Plan. In doing so tonight, we're looking at stormwater and electrical infrastructure that are specific to the Glenwood area. And specifically, we're looking at adding 3 stormwater outfalls in the Glenwood area, and we're looking at relocating a power substation that already shows on the PFSP map, relocating it from a near McVeigh Highway up to land that's been purchased by Sub adjacent to the I-5 freeway. We're also looking at electrical transmission lines that will connect that new substation to both the BPA power substation in Goshen. That transmission line will follow I-5 corridor south and then cross the freeway to the Goshen substation. And then connecting the Glenwood substation to the Laura Street substation via Henderson Street and the railroad right-of-way that cuts east-west through Glenwood, with the transmission poles running down Henderson and out to the railroad across the river. The nature of these maps and are very general, as you can tell by the scale. That's really all that's required by law. The intent is that at time of actual design, there will be more detail. There will be additional public process and opportunity for public input at that time. But state law requires us to look out at least 20 years and identify where we need to have significant infrastructure located to accommodate future growth. We do believe that Glenwood will grow and need the proposed infrastructure. It's one of those things that we must do in compliance with state laws to show those on this PFSP, which is a part of the metro plan. We are, as mentioned earlier, considering a metro plan amendment and an amendment to this document, which is a refinement plan or functional plan of the metro plan. It's a little odd, but there is specific language that's in the state law that requires us to amend both this and then to make sure that the amendments here are drafted or adopted into the metro plan itself. So we have criteria in a report that basically give you the criteria that you need to consider in making your decision to approve or not approve the proposed amendments. The amendments for considering a refinement plan amendment include those that are required for a metro plan amendment, but also add conformance with state statutes. The staff report focuses on those criteria for a refinement plan amendment with the idea that in covering those requirements or those criteria that we are also covering the metro plan amendment criteria as well. Without going through detail by detail of the findings, I can tell you that based on my findings and the results of the report before you, that we can safely say that you have a rational basis for recommending approval to the Springfield City Council and or the Lane County Board of Commissioners. I'll stand for questions later or now if you'd like.
I have some questions, but I'll ask them after the testimony.
Okay, public testimony follows. First of all, is there anyone who wishes to speak in support of this application? And testimony opposed, and I have one card. Shelley Lynch, who has indicated being opposed. Could you come forward, please? State your name and your address for the record. Just at the podium, front podium.
My name is Wyatt Lynch.
Let me say something here, because when I see people in the audience that are unsure of themselves, I usually go over and talk to them a bit. I didn't do that with you. That's just my personal thing I do. Just let you know we're just like you, and we want to hear what you say. So just relax and tell us what you have in your mind.
All right. My name is Sly Lynch. I live in Glenwood, currently on 1580 South Brooklyn Street, just up the street from Derrymore. I have questions in regards to the city's planning and how much of it is based off of current plans at the city and not on surveys that are currently being done. Because from my recollection and from current encounters with the city right now, that you're building documents aren't up to date, even with the city of Lane County, I mean, the county itself. He's transferring the documents from one place to the other. So, I mean, I'm really lost on how we can go forward with the plan if we're using false information or information that's not accurate.
I think staff might address your question to afterwards. Planning Commission isn't necessarily going to respond to your testimony.
All right. I guess I'm lost on how we're going to address everything if we don't have accurate plans and how we're going to deal with it. And a clear goal plan. I mean, because 100 feet on the sewer change is a lot for somebody who's opposed to it. I know there's not any room for anybody that lives in Glenwood to come in and say anything without being in this meeting right here. And I know living in Glenwood, the majority of the neighborhood objects. That's it.
Thank you.
Opposed?
Not either way.
Okay. Neutral?
First of all, I'll ask if there's anyone else that has any testimony in opposition. All right, then we will have testimony of persons who are neutral. Stanley Lynch.
I just want to clear.
Please state your name and your address.
I'm Stanley Lynch, 2400 G Street. Had that been there my whole life. Got slightly gray, so that gives you an idea. Just a little clear up on, we've owned that house almost a fifth of the decade. And recently we've had problems with the city. The city of Springfield has gone in and tried to say that we had code enforcement problems, which should have been county, which they actually admitted they shouldn't have been in there, over there, being code enforcement officers. And they even told us we needed to get a permit to demolish our home. After my veteran dad died, they come up with this thing, and we got this thing cleared 20 years ago, and they lost the permits from being moved from Eugene, where we had to get them in county, to Springfield, and they disappeared. And then Jackie and Cindy went over to take pictures and then sent us a letter telling us we had 7 days to get a demolition permit to destroy our home in Glenwood. Now, if you can't keep records, what's going on? Now, we're supposed to spend a whole boatload of money to buy records from the county. Can you guys possibly get the records from the county so we don't have to spend our tax dollars that we already spent to clear up the mess? Is that a tough project to clear up the thing? Because we have had Jackie pull out files one time when we moved a house from 35th Street, and she said we didn't get a permit to move a house down Main Street. Well, when we pulled it up, it miraculously got back in the file. Who knows how that happened? So let's just get the affair straightened out. And that way we can all trust each other. It's good to have trust in government.
All right, thank you. Is there any other testimony that is neutral? We'll have a summary from staff slash applicant.
As I mentioned before, I believe that the staff report does address the criteria for approval of the proposed amendments. In speaking to the testimony tonight, part of it I really can't address in the focus of tonight's meeting are on amendments to this document. The Mr. Lynch's concern about clearing up records and so on related to their home aren't really related to this, and I have no clue what the issues are, but I think we have some detail that we can follow up on. It is appropriate for cities to have correct, whether it's surveys or correct information, accurate information prior to development. This is a pre-design document. It's intended to show, generally speaking, where do we want to have outfalls, where do we want to have transmission lines and substations. And I do know that as our civil engineers work on actual design, they work hard to identify, you know, the legal descriptions of various easements, boundaries, et cetera, et cetera. And if there's a lack of clarity in the record, it's at that design level that those things will be hashed out. But it's not part of our job here to clarify these things. Did want to direct you to your packet. There is a letter from the Siever family indicating that they were in objection to having both a stormwater outfall showing on their property and the prospect of a transmission line. It's staff's opinion that one, the stormwater outfall would actually be of a benefit in that in hooking up their 5 acres of development, having a stormwater outfall to manage their stormwater runoff would be to their advantage. The stormwater facilities can be fit within the 75-foot setback, at least in discussions that I've had with our engineers. It would be something that the stormwater main would be coordinated with the development on the site, generally going down a right-of-way with the outfall close to the end of the street or to a parking lot or something that would allow our maintenance staff to have close access for removing debris and so on from the outfalls. The towers, I shouldn't call them towers, the transmission poles, we've provided some photographs of what are typical poles throughout Springfield. We're not talking about the massive BPA power line types of towers. We're talking about poles that would generally run down the right-of-way. In this case, we're proposing along Henderson and the railroad right-of-way. If indeed in the future when we get down to design, if those alignments aren't feasible for whatever reason, again, there hasn't been a lot of hard engineering going into these recommendations. It's just sort of a high-level map, conceptual, that Sub's practice has been to locate transmission lines along right-of-ways and so on that don't cut up properties. It's not in their interest, not our interest to do that. So with that, I think I'll conclude my remarks, but I'll stand for questions.
Mark, can you put the letter in the record for me?
I'd like to formally enter the record from the Siebers into the record for the proceedings tonight. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Is there language in here, or could there be language in here that would make the Siebers feel more comfortable with what's going on? People, I'm thinking they're going to think it's going to right to the middle of the property. I know you talked to them, but... And I also think it's a great idea for them, if it goes down the side of the property, the 5 acres can be, stormwater can go into it and be an asset to them. But I should imagine they'd be pretty nervous when I looked at that map. Like I said tonight, that's a very, there isn't any detail on that map, though you did describe it's going down along the railroad tracks, which seems to me you could have done that.
I think it's to their advantage to leave that open. If they submit for development on their property and they show a street pattern with a stub out at a certain location, they will want to use their map in the future when they develop it, as opposed to us acting tonight saying that that outfall should be here or there on their property. I guess, as I mentioned before, we try to work with property owners to maintain value of their land and to align, in this case, stormwater outfalls with streets and so on. In the case of the transmission lines, again, trying to find rights of way and things that would not cut up their property. And so I can't tell you at this early stage when we're really pre-designed, talking about concepts. I can't think of language that would give them much assurance, as much as I'd like to. They are wonderful people.
Yeah. And I agree with you on the cities. When we do these things, we take them into consideration. It's just that out there, sometimes they don't know that.
Oh, I know. And I appreciate being able to meet with them and talk with them. And Sanjeev King from Sun Electric did a great job in, I think, addressing their concerns. The letter was written in advance of our meeting yesterday. And I believe they, you know, I'm not saying they aren't afraid, but I think they feel much better than when they wrote that letter. They asked, well, you know, after talking, do we need to show up tonight? And I told them, you know, you should come if you feel like you want to speak or hear what's going on, and I didn't see them here tonight.
Yeah, I wish they'd been here. Over time, you know, you have a piece of property and suddenly we get 75 feet off the river. Now we've got the potential of something coming off the south side along the river tracks. Property starts getting smaller, they start getting real nervous, and that's...
I can understand, and I would probably feel the same way, but I think after talking with Sanjeev about subdivision, they felt better. I think they already understood the stormwater outfall would probably not be a problem for them.
Thanks.
I think that one of the greatest reassurances you could give would be the same thing that you've said before, and that the city wants to partner with the people to develop, and in that it's in everybody's interests to cooperate and to achieve development together. One thing I wanted to enter into the record too is that I know the city of Springfield's very concerned with, in regard to storm drain, with non-point pollution, and that I know that any facilities that are going to go into these outfalls will be using the best management practices to minimize any pollution that results from the streets and houses that are hooked into it. So.
That's correct. Commissioner Landon.
I was going to ask, just because I read through the packet, and you know, they talked about the movement of the substation. I guess I missed the point of why they're moving the substation.
I think, well, I should let Sanjeev speak to it, but.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm not sure when the substation was actually added to the plan, but it was. I know that it's been at least 5 years we've been searching for a site in Glenwood to locate a substation in order to serve development in Glenwood. And so as we looked at a variety of properties over the years, we really didn't know where we were going to be. And so I think that was kind of a placeholder. And now that we've actually acquired property, we want to move that symbol over where it would be more accurate.
This is kind of underneath I-5 on the south side of Franklin, roughly in there where it's kind of hidden, and so it follows state guidelines about being sort of visually not distracting.
Yeah, the city has supported that location with respect to the Glenwood Refinement Plan to their requirements. So.
You said Franklin Boulevard. You mean Franklin Boulevard or I-5? It's going to be right next to I-5.
Well, it's right next to I-5. And the overpass is there, and there's some nice area back there where you can hide some stuff, and it's really nice.
It's right up against I-5. It's right next to the Peterson Cab, right there on 22nd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it is back up against I-5. Yeah.
And there will be design guidelines at future phases. This is just the location. So when you talk about concealing or any of those kind of requirements, that would be considered down the road.
Oh, okay. Yeah, specific design related to the substation or when we design.
I got my hand up. I know some others have something to
do. Yeah, just another comment. The Glenwood Refinement Plan had some strictures for location. One of those was to try and locate substations and high-impact kinds of structures outside of the Phase 1 riverfront. And the proposed location for the substation is about as far away from Phase 1 as you can possibly get. It also makes sense that since the big BPA substation is on I-5 at Goshen, that locating this substation close to I-5, they can use the I-5 right away for transmission lines and not run them through developed areas.
Okay. I have another question, but I can wait.
I just wanted to say, to make sure I have it clear as well, that tonight we're adding these items to a project list. That's why it's a general map, that after this recommendation, none of this can just happen. It all needs to come in front of everyone again. There needs to be permitting processes and whatnot down the road.
There will
tonight
be
we're adding it to
additional public
map.
Input. Site plan review doesn't necessarily go to the Planning Commission. It does come to staff. It does require public notice, mail notice, and there are opportunities for people to appeal decisions on site plans and so on. When we're talking about riverfront development, that may well lead to a discretionary use permit, which does come to the Planning Commission. But all this to say, design and actual construction will be further down the road, and there will be additional public scrutiny and review of different kinds, depending on what the project is.
You spoke to it a little bit, very briefly earlier. I guess the only other concern I had is, you know, we're doing these outflows, and on the map, obviously, it looks like it's really close to the river, and I worry a little bit, obviously, about, you know, dumping a bunch of sediment and road crap into the river, and you talked a little bit about coming back, you know, from the offset, from the setback, so that there's, I don't know if you wanted to.
Our best management practice at this point is to have pre-treatment before water gets dumped from streets into a river or a receiving stream. The example I showed you was from a development, 22-acre development, I believe it is, just south of Jasper Road. It's called Filbert Meadows. That area, all the water that's collected from streets, rooftops, and everything goes down into a collecting system. The outfall in that case opens up into a large swale that's probably 50, 75 yards long, and it's, you know, a significant depression.
Sediment pond, if you will.
Yeah, it will become a pond. The type of soil it is out there, that there's some just saturation where there's filtration just because the water absorbs into the ground. But there are also microbes both in the soil and in the water when it stands that helps with treatment of other kinds of things. And it's not released until there's so much what we call contact time into the Jasper Slough. So I would expect, and I'll defer to my engineer if he wants to correct me, that I expect that we'll have some kind of pretreatment. I know, for example, there's another subdivision, Legacy Estates. The pretreatment, the pond, is close to the subdivision, and after the water goes through that pond, that swale, there's about a 1,000-foot pipe that goes out to McKenzie River at Harvest Lane, close to the boat ramp there. That water is still pretreated. What you see is kind of a naked pipe end close to the river. But nonetheless, we're not willy-nilly discharging street runoff and other things into the river directly. It's part of our responsibility under the Federal Clean Water Act to do something to prevent that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Commissioner Logan, one last simple question. The power sources in the Glenwood now, where do they come from? I've used substation as a name. Which substations does it come from?
So we currently do not have any substations in Glenwood.
Well, I know that, but the power, I know so the power line comes along the freeway, I-5, and I think there's two inlets in Glenwood, isn't there?
Yeah, so there's two distribution sources, and one is across the bridge here, the Springfield Bridge, and the other is from SD. Across the river.
Okay, and this will allow us to distribute the power from that source up on the hill, correct?
Yeah, so instead of having substations in, outside of Glenwood, have feeders that come all the way in, we'll actually have a substation in Glenwood with its own transmission sources that can accommodate all the load growth, all the development in Glenwood. Otherwise, we would definitely have some issues with those feeders running out of capacity to serve the load in Glenwood.
And the other is too, I live in Glenwood, because every time we have a power outage, half the community has power and the other half doesn't.
Any other questions or comments?
Just one quick question. I know we've talked about this being a recommendation to the city council. Is this also a recommendation to Lane?
It is. By agreement with Lane County, issues such as this can be heard before the Springfield Planning Commission, and the Lane County Board of Commissioners will accept your recommendation in the same way they would accept a recommendation from their own planning commission.
Anything else from anyone? So now we have consideration of request for continuation of public hearing, extension of the written record, or both.
Close the public hearing, written record.
That was going to come up next. Okay. Yeah, I hear the motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Lowe, second by Vice Chair Nelson. We close the public hearing. So now is the point of planning commission discussion, questions. Any further questions or comments?
Mr. Chair, did you vote on the motion?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you need to vote, yeah. And it was a motion to close both the hearing,
yes,
and the record.
Yes.
Okay. So it's a voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any further comments or questions? A motion to approve with conditions, or deny the application based on the information contained in the staff report, written oral testimony, any other evidence submitted to the record?
I move to recommend the City Council to approve the proposed amendments to the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan by amending the Public Facilities and Service Plan to 1. Add 3 stormwater outfalls, 2. Relocate a planned electrical substation, and 3. To add transmission lines connecting the substations to the LV substation in Goshen and Laura Street substation in Springfield. The planned facilities shall be added to the applicable PFSP map 3 and 4 in the project list found on table 6, 8, and 18.
Second. Motion made by Vice Chair Nelson, second by Commissioner Landon. And both voice vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion carries. Then we can move on to other business. Do we have any reports with council action?
There was a public hearing last night on the LTD corridor council meeting, and they decided to proceed with the BRT option out to Thurston and an enhanced route to LCC.
So was there public testimony in that hearing?
There was, and it was, there was all for it. There's a couple that had questions. I don't know, they might have been against it, but I didn't hear it that way. They just had concerns, and if those concerns are addressed, that could be okay. Councilor Van Gordon made a comment that I really liked, and he says, whatever they do out there, the businesses that are concerned, he says, they want to see those businesses thrive. So that's the goal. And that's the most important thing of all.
Anyone else with reports?
4th of May, this was kind of a predecessor to that one, but I was assigned to go to that city council meeting where they were talking about that. There was a lot of discussion about making sure that we had the right kind of community input on that. You know, are we going to go with the BRT or the enhanced transit, or just leave things the way they were? The mayor made some arguments about how when we got the BRT, we also get lots of lighting and some other kind of free stuff. It doesn't cost us anything, and it's a very nice benefit to the city. So, you know, kind of this, Steve talked about that, seemed to be where that was going. But that's just this idea of making sure that we had community input is where most of the discussion came from that.
Was there also a discussion of the 16th Street vacation?
I left. I shouldn't have, but I was.
I can report on that.
Yeah.
Yes, they by a 4-1 vote approved the vacation ordinance and the resolution to waive the financial consideration. So.
Question regarding that, was there a decision or was there a description of how the hospital was planning to initially use that? I imagine it's for construction staging initially, or was that dealt with?
Generally, the staff report included a description that because the city's retaining a variety of easements, that no permanent structures will be placed on the former right-of-way. Most of it will be parking in circulation. I think they're going to improve bike and head through movements through there, but clearly there's no substitute for the street. That's not in that development plan. And there's a reversion clause in the vacation ordinance that if the hospital doesn't perform as they submit it within a certain period of time, then the right-of-way reverts back to the city.
Actually, I was asking, is there going to be a land use initially as construction staging for the rehabilitation of the hospital?
Will there be a
land use as construction staging for that right-of-way?
Well,
material storage, job trailers.
Yeah. I mean, they'll be submitting a site plan for the development. And I think that these things will frequently include that information on it. Typically, what you're going to see is the finished product on the site plan. Once the right-of-way, though, the action is, I think, complete 30 days. It wasn't an emergency. So on June 18th, that property becomes the property of McKinsey Willamette Hospital. And so if their purpose is to use it in the interim during construction for staging and job shacks and so forth, that would be okay for them to do that. There wouldn't be a problem with on-site staging.
Didn't the city maintain a couple of easements down on the 16th, and then the hospital talked about putting a four-story, eventually extending a four-story tower, patient tower, on the east side of the existing structure. So he is going to kind of build that way, but it won't cross onto.
Yeah, they are, by virtue of that easement that the city has retained, you can't put permanent structures on the easement. So they could build right up to the edge of it. It probably wouldn't. Depending upon the nature of the facilities that are in the easement, it probably would be better if they were set back some distance in case they ever have to be repaired or replaced. But there technically is no setback standard from an easement. You can go right up to the edge of it. So, and you know, it doesn't matter if it's one story or 400.
There, by the way, there's a lot of argument, forgive me, there. Came up on the public hearing on the 4th on that. A bunch of folks who think that that's going to split the city into a north and a south, and that there's this loss of 16th is just, you know, so there's some folks that have some heartache about that.
Any other reports or comments on reports? Any other business from the director?
No, sir.
Any other business from the planning commission? We are adjourned.
Don't have enough meetings in life.